na chaitana prabhani sana jaya chaita godana shivasadi
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 12, 1986 at New Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Verse 224 through 229.
Nibrita marun manukshadrida yoga yujo hiriyan munaya upasate tadarayo pi ayusmanat striya urugendra bhoga bhujadanda visakta diyo vayamma pite samasadrishongri saroja sudha.
Translation. By practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling their breath, the great sages conquered the mind and senses. Thus engaging in mystic yoga, they saw the super soul within their hearts and ultimately entered into the impersonal Brahman. However, even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead attained that position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. The damsels of Raja, the gopis, simply wanted to embrace Krishna and hold his arms, which are like serpents, being attracted by the beauty of Krishna. They ultimately acquired a taste for the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet. We can also taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.23, spoken by the Srutis, the personified Vedas. Text 225. Sadrisha sabde kohese bhave anugati samaha sabde kohesrute gopi deho prapti. The word samadrisha, mentioned in the fourth line of the previous verse, means following the moods of the gopis. The word samaha means attaining a body like those of the gopis. Text 226. Angri padma Sudhaya kohe Krishna sangananda vidhi margena paye bhaje Krishna chandra. The word angri padma sudha means associating intimately with Krishna. One can attain such perfection only by spontaneous love of God. One cannot obtain Krishna and Golok Vrindavana simply by serving the Lord according to regulative principles. 227. Nayang sukapo bhagavan dihinam gopika suta gyaninam chatma bhutanam yata bhakti matam iha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Translation of repetition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.21 is spoken by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. It concerns the statement about Krishna's being subjugated by the gopis and thus glorifying them.
Atoiv gopi bhava kori angikar. Ratri dina chinte radha krishnara vihar.
Therefore, one should accept the mood of the gopis and their service. In such a transcendental mood, one should always think of the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna.
Siddha dehe chinti kore tahai sevan. Sakhi bhave paya radha krishnara charan.
After thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world. There the devotee attains an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis.
Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the word Siddha Deho, perfected spiritual body, refers to a body beyond the material gross body composed of five elements and subtle astral body composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. In other words, one attains a completely spiritual body fit to render service to the transcendental couple Radha and Krishna. Sarvupadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam.
When one is situated in his spiritual body, which is beyond this gross and subtle material body, he is fit to serve Radha and Krishna. The body is called Siddha Deha. The living entity attains a particular type of gross body in accordance with his past activities and mental condition. In this life, the mental condition changes in different ways, and the same living entity gets another body in the next life according to his desires. The mind, intelligence, and false ego are always engaged in an attempt to dominate material nature. According to that subtle astral body, one attains a gross body to enjoy the objects of one's desires. According to the activities of the present body, one prepares another subtle body. And according to the subtle body, one attains another gross body. This is the process of material existence. However, when one is spiritually situated and does not desire a gross or subtle body, he attains his original spiritual body, as confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Tyaktva dehaṁ punar janma naiti māmeti sorjuna. One is elevated to the spiritual world by the spiritual body, and is situated either in Golok Vrindavana or in another Vaikuntha planet. In the spiritual body there are no longer material desires, and one is fully satisfied by rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. This is the platform of bhakti. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanang Bhakti Ruchate. When the spiritual body, mind and senses are completely purified, one can render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His consort. In Vaikuntha, the consort is Lakshmi, and in Goloka Vrindavana, the consort is Srimati Radharani. In the spiritual body free from material contamination, one can serve Radha Krishna and Lakshmi Narayana. When one is thus spiritually situated, he no longer thinks of his own personal sense gratification. This spiritual body is called Siddha Deha, the body by which one can render transcendental service unto Radha and Krishna. The process is that of engaging the transcendental senses in loving service, in loving devotional service. This verse specifically mentions Sakhi Bhave Paya Radha Krishnera Charan. Only transcendentally elevated persons in the mood of the gopis can engage in the service of the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to text 229 of chapter 8 Madhya Lila Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the matter of talks between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. Translation. After thinking of Radha and Krishna and their pastimes for a long time, and after getting completely free from material contamination, one is transferred to the spiritual world.
There the devotee attains an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna as one of the gopis. So, of course, this is the process for achieving the service of Radha and Krishna. But the process is the same to go to the spiritual world, regardless of one's rasa or service in the spiritual world. One has to meditate on the pastimes of Krishna, his consort, has to meditate on the spiritual pastimes of the Lord, engage in their service, become purified from contamination, then one can achieve the spiritual world in a spiritual body. So the spiritual body is already formed by rendering the devotional service. Even though externally, one may not be able to see the spiritual body, it describes that those who are residents of the holy places, of the holy Dham, they are seen as having a spiritual body by the denizens and the higher planets. But those who are residents of Sri Khetra, where Jagannath lives, they are seen by the denizens of the heavenly planets as having four arms. Those who are residents of Navadvip Mayapur Dham are seen as having two arms and having a spiritual body suitable to serving Lord Chaitanya. Those who are residents of Gormandal Bhumi, which is the next layer outside of Mayapur Navadvip, is compared that Mayapur Navadvip is like the round part in the center of a lotus, and the flowers which go out is like the Gormandal Bhumi. So the residents of Gormandal Bhumi are seen by the residents of Swarg as having four arms and blue form. Those residents in Mayapur Navadvip are seen as two arms and golden form. So, according to one's relationship developed with Krishna, one's already develops the spiritual body. It already awakens. It's there within our heart. In conditioned life, the soul is like a small seed. It is dormant. The spiritual body is dormant. Because we don't need a spiritual body when we're in material life. Instead, the soul is just like a small seed, and we experience pleasure and pain and mixture of the two from this material body and mind. So Prabhupada explained here about the gross body and about the astral body, that we have to purify our conception beyond the gross and subtle material body. In America, many people are very attracted to the astral body, and they try to do astral projection and leave their gross body and then move about. But they are still connected to the gross body. They have to come back. And if they break the connection, then they have to change their body. They die, so to speak, meaning that their connection with this gross body will be finished. They even remain in their subtle body, which is like a ghost, or otherwise they'll go on to their next birth. All these gross and subtle or astral situations of attachment to the material world don't actually take one to the spiritual world. They don't change our connection with the material nature in any absolute way. They simply are keeping us bound up to this material world. But by worshipping Radha Madana Mohana, by worshipping Nitai Gaur Jagannath Subhadra Balaram, by developing our transcendental attachment to serving them, first we serve them very strictly according to rules and regulations. Then we become more spontaneous in following the rules and regulations, and we enjoy to follow those. Then we develop higher level of raganuga where externally one follows the rules and regulations, but internally one is spontaneously attracted to serving the Lord in any way which will give satisfaction to Guru and Krishna. And the service becomes more important to such devotees than other external aspects of devotional service. So, the idea of doing whatever is pleasing to Radha and Krishna, that was the mood of the gopis. The gopis were not desiring that Krishna please dance with me. They were thinking how to get Krishna to dance with Radha. Radharani, vice versa. So this is a mood was simply how to give Krishna happiness, how to reunite Radha and Krishna. In other words, although externally it may appear, oh, the gopis are wanting to dance with Krishna, this is like a woman wants to be with a man. A man wants to be with a woman. No, it's not like that. Their desire was actually selfless. Their greater happiness was in trying to unite Radha and Krishna. Sometimes Radharani would force the gopis to be with Krishna, but that wasn't their greater happiness. Their greater happiness was to bring Radha and Krishna together. In fact, sometimes in the beginning in devotional service, one gives great happiness to accept the remnants of Krishna prasadam. But then, later, one gets more happiness in seeing and offering the prasadam to Krishna. Seeing a very nice offering, like last night we saw, what a wonderful offering, hundreds of preparations to Krishna. It actually gave joy to the heart to see so many offerings. More happiness than you could get even by trying to serve the prasad afterwards. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he would feel love for Krishna, both in accepting prasad and offering. But when he saw the beautiful offering to Krishna, that would melt his heart. That how the devotees have put their love and devotion and made such a nice offering to Krishna. So, this mood, the trying to please Radha and Krishna, trying to please the Lord, that mood has to become more prominent. You see, in material life, our mood is absorbed in how to please the body and how to please the mind. When our body and mind isn't satisfied, we get frustrated. This is known as being under the control of the modes of material nature. So these things are going to happen. The body is going to sometimes be happy and sometimes give us distress. Sometimes the body will feel satisfied by its present situation. Sometimes it will pull and say, we need this, we need that. If we simply go running after the urges of the body and allow those urges, distraction, to make us feel happy or distressed, then we simply come under the control of illusion more and more. It's like someone was giving the example yesterday, how Prabhupada said that you scratch and you get a little relief. Then again the itching is there, again you scratch. Finally you scratch and scratch so much, then finally you stop. Not because the scratching goes, but because there's blood. Even if one wants to serve, Krishna can eat so many preparations, but if we want to take even a little bit, we cannot finish. There's too many preparations offered to Krishna. So our body, although mentally we may think, let's take some more, but physically we are incapable. Someone may want to enjoy unlimited sense gratification, but so many problems come. Modern society, they want unlimited sense gratification. Now they're very frustrated because there's so many diseases which have come. AIDS, herpes. They don't know what to do. They're frantically spending millions and millions of dollars trying to find the cure so that they can again have unrestricted sense gratification. And headline came, new sexual revolution about to happen on the eve of finding AIDS antidote. In other words, Now people have forced to restrict themselves because of fear of death. So when they hope of finding an antidote is there, they practically rejoice in the paper. New sexual revolution about to come. So this revolution or that revolution, based on sense gratification, is going to produce other problems in any case. It's producing so many. If it doesn't get disease, at least it frustrates one totally. If one leads one's life simply based upon sex or sense gratification. One may think that, oh, by having homosex, then there's no children. So then it's more free. You don't have to go through so many problems. But then we see there's so much mental anxiety comes. So many other subtle sufferings are coming due to all these type of unnatural relationships based simply upon sense gratification without any higher purpose. At least the bond between husband and wife can be purified by the desire to produce a Krishna conscious child for Krishna. Then it has a legitimacy based upon this sacrifice to have a Krishna conscious child. And that child can be raised to be a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, the sex act can be purified. Whatever one does, one gradually has to purify the consciousness from this gross attachment to the body and to the mind, the subtle attachments to the mind, likes and dislikes, are always pulling us to and fro, here and there. In this way, there's another sloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that? Krishna Daya. Jiver lalosa de iri uri rai, Shishnu dara purayana Krishna nahi pai. Someone who is running here and there, trying to satisfy the tongue, someone who is simply attached to the tongue, belly and genital, cannot achieve Krishna. People are running here and there, whole society, most of the Udayanis, long-distance planes, they always show these different movies. None of which are, unfortunately, very fit to see. We'll always see the silent figures running around on the screen. They're always running after this sense gratification. And in the end, there's a big smile and everything is alright. Imagine everything's alright. Seems there's always a smile in the end, most of them. But we know the material world, everything isn't all right. Actually, life isn't meant to be lived, to be pursued in this such a gross level. That's why Srila Prabhupada came. He said the whole society here is simply spiritually bankrupt. We need to give them spiritual direction. Everything is there materially. There's nothing lacking. It's still why the people are frustrated. Some people are proud. America is a dynamic country. It's an experiment. It's only 200 years old. So this experiment will be perfected if we base America on actual spiritual principles. In the money it still says, in God we trust. The original founding fathers of America, even Benjamin Franklin, he believed in reincarnation. Thomas Jefferson believed in reincarnation. I believed also Thomas Jefferson. Benjamin Franklin for sure. The basic principles were in spiritual life, but nowadays, gradually America has become more and more hedonistic. We have to redirect that in a spiritual direction because of Prabhupada's preaching. There's overall a general revival in spiritual principles. But Maya will try to attack us, try to distract us in many ways. So each devotee has to himself become acharya, has to become one who teaches by their own example. Apuni achari to dharma, pore kishika. Lord Chaitanya said, you teach others by your own example. There's no use in saying so many things if you don't practice it yourself. It's not going to convince others. We have to teach others by our own example. So Prabhupada wanted that the devotees should be first-class citizens. They should be persons who are able to correct the society and who are famous for being very simple and very pure in their activities, who are able to lead people. Unfortunately, often we are in such a financial bind that we have to somehow or another collect donations from the materialists to maintain the temples and other overheads. But in the future, we hope to have a larger and larger congregation, and that the basic expense of maintaining the deities, Radha, Madan Mohan, Nitai Gaur, Jagannath, Subhadra, Balaram, these should be maintained by the congregation. That is their special service. And the devotees who are directly serving the deities, and those who are preaching, if they don't have to maintain the overhead of the deities and mortgage and so on, it's simply their own maintenance is no difficulty to collect by simple preaching. But because right now our congregational program is in a very basic level, we actually have to work to that. So whatever we do, although externally we have different forms, but we should cultivate this desire of serving Guru and Krishna, serving Guru and Gauranga, serving Radha and Krishna in a selfless mood. We should learn to be a little tolerant, even though our body and mind agitates. We should, in this way, learn to go above various prejudices and accept arrangements that Krishna makes, try to engage ourselves in Krishna's service according to the time and place we find ourselves. You know how these great devotees like Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda Pandit, they are such great devotees. Srinivas Acharya, we heard how one time he found, what was it, the Radha and Krishna were having some pastimes. One cowherd girl or something came to him and said, I can't, Radha lost her ring or something. Was it her ring or her beetle nut? I forget. In the water. Somehow Srinivas Acharya dived in the water. Underwater he found the ring of Radharani, I believe. He gave it to the gopi. So Radharani was so pleased that she gave the betel nut that Krishna had given her while kissing the night before, gave that betel nut to Srinivas Acharya, which put him in complete spontaneous love of Godhead. Such great devotees who had such blessings from Radha and Krishna. So many other pastimes are there. Shyamananda Pandit got personally blessed by Radha, put a dot right on his forehead. Actually, Shyamananda Pandit was known as Duki Krishna Das. He was sent by Hridayananda to be serve under Jiva Goswami as Shiksha Guru. So, when he came back, instead of Duki Krishna Das as a name, there was a name Shyamananda. What the heck is going on? I sent my disciple to go as a Shiksha Guru. He's got a new name. And then he has a little dot in the middle of his tilak. What the, you know, what's going on? He gives him a new tilak, gives him a new name. He writes a letter to Jiva Goswami with a messenger. So what have you done to my disciple? Why did he get a new name? Did you reinitiate him or something? Why is he wearing a different kind of tilak? You know, even in those days, there's a little misunderstanding. All great pure devotees Jiva Goswami. Actually, Shyamananda got the name because the deity and great elevated Goswamis. Dukhi means unhappy Krishna. Why is he the unhappy Krishna? He was giving such ecstatic lectures of Krishna consciousness that somehow even the deity of Shyama Sundar became favored over him or something, and in this way he became known as Shyamananda. It was something which was given by the Goswamis, given by the deity. It was a spontaneous thing. So he explained all this. He's not reinitiated, he's your disciple, but this thing happened. But the deity somehow blessed him with this name, and the great six Goswamis that were there, they appreciated his devotional service. Don't take it otherwise. He never had his name changed at the time of Diksha. Actually, one should change the name at the time of Diksha. Alright, that was alright. What about the tilak? Why is he wearing a dot? Actually, something happened. He gave Radharani, also lost something, or she did some special service. Radharani was so pleased, he just put a little bindu. Just like with touched his on the head. Actually touched by Radharani, or touched by somehow by one of the gopis, got this mark. So Jiva Goswami wrote back, said, listen, this was given by special mercy, it appeared by Radharani's mercy. If you think it's there by his own wish, you try to rub it out. So he took, rub out the, he rubbed the white thing, seen that this is it, come back. No matter what he did, it would come back. These devotees are so favored. They had such a intimate relationship with Radha and Krishna, you can't imagine. Obviously, they were in spiritual body. No one is going to get the blessing of Radharani with the immovable tilak dots or be given Mahaprasad from Krishna's own mouth. From Radharani's own mouth. They are already having completely spiritual bodies developed. Liberated souls. They were sent by Govindaji to go and distribute these books. Take these books and you get them copied, distribute them, and then you preach on them and establish their validity amongst all the people of Eastern India, Eastern Bharat, which included Bangladesh, Manipur, everywhere. So, it's not that going out and preaching is some service meant for the neophytes. And when you become advanced and you sit in some place and just talk. Prabhupada said this is artificial imitating of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was God himself. He discussed Radha Krishna pastimes. Even the Goswamis wrote the pastimes. They wrote. They're not the Bhajana Nandis that they're only considering they're liberated souls. They're so advanced. They're practically living in the spiritual world. Still, they come from their completely transcendental position to take the time to tell us not to stick our feet out in the temple. Lord Rupa Goswami writes in his Bhakti Rasamrita, all the 64 seva aparads, including sticking your foot out in the temple and so on. Why? He's doing that for his bhajan? No! To uplift us to the spiritual platform. Then he also tells us how to do vidhi marga, how to do raganuga marga, how to do the devotional service from beginning to end. He's the ninth gopi. He's Rupa Manjari. He's come down from the spiritual world. Naturally, he's going to be in Vrindavan. He's going to sometime run like a madman calling after Radha and Krishna. He's not a conditioned soul. He's in the spiritual world. He doesn't see the ordinary trees and rocks of Vrindavan that the conditioned soul sees when he sees the Chintamani Dham. Still, in spite of being in that transcendental position, he comes down to the level of writing down all the rules, regulations, all the Siddhantin philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Sanatan Goswami, writing how one goes from beginning up to the spiritual world in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, writing all the rules and regulations with along with in his Hari Bhakti Bilas, including how to brush your teeth, and so on and so forth. We shouldn't mistake that because they're wearing a short dhoti and sometimes running in Vrindavan crying Radha and Krishna, that they're only interested in their own bhajan. They only came to expand this mercy to everyone. But actually, they're liberated souls. We can't imitate them. Now there are many imitators wearing this short, they may be, they're not even Vajananandi, they're Bhojananandi in most cases. Their expert Prabhupada said, knowing where to get the free japatis, which house will give japati on which day, they know all that. They haven't developed such spontaneous bhajan. There may be Vajananandi, but the six Goswamis, Jiva Goswami wrote 200,000, was it 200,000 or 400,000 verses? I forget. It's twice as much as the Mahabharata, I think. 400,000 verses. Mahabharata is 200,000. You can call him a Bhajananandi? He's only interested in his bhajan, his own salvation? Do you know how to write 200,000 or 400,000 verses? They may have stayed in one place. How can it? I'm traveling everywhere. I have so many things to write. Where it's very hard to write and travel. I can see why Prabhupada would go for 2 months in Mayapur, different places, and sit and write. Why Acharya Dev goes and it's very hard to travel and write. Unless the whole temple gears itself to just let you give one class a day and let you write. You have to go all the temple programs, otherwise they'll say you're in Maya. Then you have to give all the classes and darshans and deal with all the problems and manage it. Where's the time to write? And people say, you know. So anyway, the six Goswami, they stayed in Vrindavan for a period of time and they wrote so much literature that we can't imagine how much literature. Why? Because this was the desire of Lord Chaitanya. You write this literature down so that the people can know the path, how to worship Radha and Krishna, how to go back to the spiritual world. But the immediate followers who went there, they'd like to stay in Vrindavan. They love Vrindavan. They were crying in separation when they left. Who wanted to leave? The remaining Goswamis that were there, Krishna Das, Kavira, they are literally crying to think how we have to leave Vrindavan and Govindaji, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, all the deities. But they were sent to go out and preach this message. Now go on, these books have been written. Now go out and distribute them. So Prabhupada spent so much time writing his books, we have to now distribute this knowledge to the people. People should know. One girl yesterday said, I got the Bhagavad Gita. Have you read some of the other books too? He said, I didn't know there were any other books. It was about 90 or 100. Really? By the time Acharya Dev finishes the Bhagavatam, it'll be like Prabhupada wanted, practically almost 60 volumes. So, we have a great service ahead of us. We shouldn't think that this service is demeaning or this service is less. We should take up the service the way that Narottam Das Thakur, the way that Srinivas Acharya took it up, in separation of Vrindavan and Mayapur. Taking it up It's a higher service that let the Lord be satisfied. He wants to see these conditioned souls who are just in the quicksand of material sense gratification. Every move, they're just getting further and further entangled. Let's pull them out and give them a real lease on life. Give them a chance to develop their spiritual body, get above their astral projection, their astral, physical, psychic plane, above their gross physical attachments. Let them experience what is real ecstasy. And we want all the devotees, they should strictly follow this Vidhi Marg, follow the rules and regulations, so that they can get purified of contamination and gradually they can develop spontaneously the appreciation of serving Krishna. It says here, you have to do it for a long time and get completely free from material contamination. Long time means years together in this lifetime. If one does it continuously by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you can achieve. Not that after 3 months, 6 months, 1.5 years, already I've been doing, why haven't I yet achieved my spiritual body and I'm... No, it may take years together. We have to get free from the material contamination. Then we can achieve Radha and Krishna. Are you playing a madranga in accompaniment to my class? Are you dreaming about something? No, that type of listening is not appreciated. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes? Hare Krishna, tathastaha, so be it. Yes. This is explained by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami that those persons who live in the Dham and who have their Sambandha Anubhav, or their understanding of their relationship as a servant of the Lord. Those who are engaging as servants of the Lord, that they have, they're actually the real residents of the Dham. Those who are not in that relationship, who are residents in the Dham, but they don't, they're oblivious to the fact that it's the holy Dham and that they have some relationship with, they're not in that idea of having any relationship with the Lord of that particular Dham, that they're living like on a thin crust of material energy that covers the Dham. They're not actually the residents of the Dham. They're superficially there, but they're not really in the Dham. They're like on a thin crust above it. Those who are in the Dham because and are conscious of their relationship as a servant of the Lord, they're the residents of the Dham and they're visible like that. Even sometimes a resident of a Dham, if he even does something that's improper, that they may still, depending on how their relationship is with the Lord, they may also be in some special situation. That's why it says that one shouldn't go and stay in the Dham more than 3 days. You stay too long, you start to become familiar with the residents of the Dham and criticize them, and then you become guilty of offenses. One has to be able, when you're there, you can recognize to some extent, not perfectly, but to some extent one can recognize that some people have got a very deep relationship with the Lord and they're living in the Dham, and others, they're there, but they're not at all conscious of what's going on. So there's a difference. Those who are there with a conscious understanding of that this is the Dham, this is the Lord, I'm his servant, that conscious, they're the real residents of the Dham. Other people, they're physically there, but they don't know, they could be anywhere. But That may not, that's not the same. Any other questions? Yes? In the explanation of the Kama Gayatri, text 138, it mentions, Krishna is called Kama Deva or Madana Mohana, the deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna. Madana Mohan is the deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna. We are in the material world that establishing our relationship with Krishna, that first establishing is done by Radha Madana Mohan. Govinda or Pushpabana, who carries an arrow made of flowers, is the personality of Godhead who accepts our devotional service. Ananga or Gopi Jana Balava satisfies all the gopis and is the ultimate goal of life. So Madana Mohan is the first form of the Lord who gives us, brings us into the spiritual relationship with Radha and Krishna. Then there's Radha Madhava, Radha Govinda, who accept our service. And then finally, the goal of life, who satisfies all the desires of the gopis to satisfy Krishna, is Gopi, Gopinath, Radha Gopinath. Sanatana Goswami established the Radha Madana Mohana deity in Vrindavan. They also worshipped in Panihatika. Hare Krishna.